He is risen. You know, it's been a blessing to me today, this morning, to hear those songs, those Easter songs, to worship. I was blessed this morning. Well, this morning, when the youth came and sang. You know, as I was up and looked outside, looked to the east when the sun should have been rising, you know, it was cloudy. We didn't see a sunrise, but we know the sun rose. And then we heard, and the young people came and sang, and then we were sitting downstairs, and they were singing up here. And as they sang that song, you know, he tore the bars away. It thundered right then, and to think of that, as we think back of when those bars were torn away, everything that went on there, the earthquake, the darkness, and he rose again. He is risen. You know, last Sunday, Brother Joseph talked about the cross. And I'd like to go ahead and read chapter 28, go on for the I think this passage gives us the ending, or should we say the new beginning, and the Sabbath was over, and Jesus rose from the dead. If you want to turn with me to Matthew 28, there it ended with the sepulchre being sealed, the stone set, and it was very secured. And as Brother Steve shared with us there, I had to think of the, who was in control? Who was it that could call Lazarus to come forth? It didn't matter what they did here to seal that tomb. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, "Women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Fathers, we come before thee this morning, Lord, rejoicing in the life that we can have in you. And as we see the spring and the flowers and the blooming and the new life springing up in nature, Lord, we realize that this is temporal, but that in you, you give life eternal. And we just pray as we read your word, as we study your word this morning, Lord, that it might take new meaning in our lives, and that we might reach out, and that we might truly want to have you in our hearts, and to be true disciples, and that you might be our Lord and Master, our Savior. We just want to commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be reading some from John 2. But the Sabbath was over when Jesus rose from the dead. He rose the first day. It was changed from the beginning by the faith and the witness of the first believers. And the Jewish Sabbath had been associated with the law. 6 days of work, and then you rest. But the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is associated with grace. First, there is the living faith in the living Christ, and then there will be works. But, you know, I trust as we go through this Easter season that it's a real part of our lives. That it's not just another Easter season that we go through. It's not just another day. Every Lord's Day, I believe, is a day of gathering together to celebrate what Christ has done for us. But I think it's right that we have a special day set aside to take a real look at this. And a time of especially singing these songs, these Easter songs, you know, it thrills our hearts. But I trust it's not just something that we celebrate and go home and forget. We go on with life. There's a lot of people in church today that won't go to church the rest of the year. But are they truly experiencing the resurrection, the power of Christ's resurrection? You know, my desire this morning that everyone here that can experience this power in their lives. It's not just a formality. It's not just something that we talk about. But, you know, that's a beautiful part of the Christian religion, and Brother Jonathan mentioned that this morning, is that we have a Savior that is alive. Most religions, their leader is dead, but our leader is alive. And we have the inspired, the written Word of God. And we have Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to guide us. And we think of the disciples back there at the crucifixion and the discouragement that they went through. You know, Jesus had tried to prepare them, to explain to them what was going to take place. But, you know, they couldn't grasp that. You know, like the passage that was read this morning that Brother Steve read, where Jesus just disappeared out of their sight. You know, they were angry and they were going to... They went to get him, to take him, to kill him, but he disappeared. And that happened over and over again. And now here, suddenly, their master is taken and he's dead. He's on the cross. You know, sometimes we find ourselves getting hard on the disciples for their unbelief, for their so quickly forgetting, for denying the Lord, but... You know, they were trying to understand. They were trying to rationalize these last 3 years from the carnal man's perspective. They didn't have the risen Lord in their hearts. Although I believe it was their heart's desire. They knew, they believed that he was the Messiah. In John chapter 20, I'd like to read a couple verses there. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. Well, before this, we have Mary Magdalene, and according to the other Gospels, several women had agreed to go to the sepulchre early with spices to finish the job that had been done hurriedly by Joseph and Nicodemus. It was dark yet. I don't know how they thought they would get into that sealed tomb. But I believe it was her love for her master that compelled her to go regardless. She went without being able to reason. She was just somehow. She believed that God would make a way. And when she saw that stone rolled away, her heart stopped. What happened? Somebody stole our Lord's body. Now, Jesus didn't need that stone rolled away to get out. But that stone was rolled away so that they could get in. The angel said that he is not here, he is risen. You know, the first witnesses there were the women. And I believe that's significant. Because among the Jews in that day, the testimony of women was not held in high regard. I read one place that said they said it was better that the words of the law be burned, said the rabbis, than to be delivered to a woman. But you know, these Christian women had a greater message than that of the law, because they knew that their Savior was alive. You know, Mary's faith was not extinguished. I had to think this morning as I looked out, hoping to see a sunrise, and there was none there that we could see. But you know, if you'd have had the opportunity to be flying up above the clouds, there would have been, I believe, a beautiful sunrise. I've seen some sunrises from an airplane that were just, you know, as it shines off the clouds from the top side, it's just gorgeous. So we know the sun came up. It's there. We have light. We wouldn't have light if the sun wouldn't have came up. But it was, we can't always see. There's, as long as we're in this life, in this world, there's going to be shadows. There's going to be times of eclipse where we have a hard time seeing through. And I believe that's where Mary was facing here. The light was still there, but it was covered. Peter and John were in the same spiritual condition. But you know, soon all three of them would move out of the shadows and into the light. And I don't know what they thought as they looked into that tomb and saw the napkin folded there, the angel sitting there. But in verse 11 it goes on, it says, Mary stood out at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. You know, again, we have Mary weeping. We have Jesus touched. And I believe he's touched. That is still the same today. that this the disciples had left, but not Mary. She wouldn't be consoled. She stayed and wept. You know, at that point, she didn't realize that if the body of Jesus had been in that grave, she would have had reason to weep. She'd have had real cause for weeping. But what was a great sorrow to her was cause for joy. It attested to the fact that Jesus was the Messiah, that he had risen. You know, even when the angels tried to comfort Mary, she was not to be comforted. They didn't seem to disturb her. She just matter-of-factly told them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Maybe she didn't recognize that they were angels. Maybe it was dark. Maybe it was her tears. Or maybe it was just that she believed him dead and she couldn't comprehend. She didn't recognize Jesus as the living man that she was looking for. You know, how many times do we find ourselves in the same place? Christ is right there, just waiting to comfort us in our time of sorrow, in our time of need, and we don't recognize him. So we miss the comfort of his presence. I believe when we think of the final resurrection, when all will be made right, when, you know, we won't face these times of sorrow and struggle that we face in this life. And as I thought about them going through this process of thinking Jesus, their master, their Lord Master, gone, dead, and suddenly he appears, I had to think of, you know, there's times in our own lives when we face situations that we think a loved one is gone, or we fear that. And suddenly things are hopeless. They're out of our control. And suddenly things change. I think our second child, when my wife was in the hospital in labor and things were getting drawn out, things were getting seemed kind of shaky, but there was the heartbeat was there, and suddenly there was a code went, beeper started going off. And nurses started showing up. Stuff was flying all over the place. I knew there was a dire emergency. And they told me, "You can't come with us. It's an emergency. It's going to be an emergency C-section because we've lost the heartbeat." You know, I can clearly remember that feeling of absolute hopelessness. And suddenly, a nurse shows up again and throws me some grubs and says, "Hurry up." She said, "You can come after all." She said, "We've got the heartbeat." You know, that's just a small sense. And you know, that's the feeling of relief. But you know, God doesn't always choose to do that. You know, just this, and just a little over a week ago, the family that lost a child in Oklahoma, I don't know a lot of details there, but what all went on, but I'm sure they had that same hopelessness, that same hope that somehow something would change. But you know, it didn't. But ultimately, you know, our goal is that we all get to heaven. And sometimes that happens in different ways than what we would desire. And there's a loss there. But you know, these people were looking. Things were suddenly here. Their master was back. Oh, the relief and the unbelief. Because it didn't happen that way. They saw him. You know, I'm sure, couldn't have they looked back and remembered Lazarus rising from the dead? Did they forget that? Hebrews says of Moses, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, Moses didn't see God, but his faith made the presence of God as real to him as if he would have seen him. And I take that Moses might have seen the backside of God on the mount. But he was faithful even when he didn't. You know, that's the kind of faith that changes all of life for the believer. Those first recorded words from Jesus' lips after he arose are the ones he spoke to Mary. He says, "Woman, why weepest thou?" Those words were spoken to comfort one that was in sorrow. You know, Jesus had always been a comforter. He had just come from the grave that morning. He had just triumphed over death. He had just made a way for us, for sinful man, to live in unbroken fellowship with God. The one who was holy, the creator of the universe. You know, that is the most important truth in the whole world. We see Jesus here, the comforter, just as he had been when he walked with his disciples on this earth. I believe we wonder sometimes what things will be like in heaven. You know, Jesus didn't change. I think we will change as men. You know, there's things that won't plague us anymore, these little quirks and things that we have to continually work with. That the pain, those kind of things are going to be gone. But Jesus jumped right back into where he had left off. Death didn't make a break in his life. Nothing was blotted out. Nothing beautiful or worthwhile will be forgotten. And when Jesus called Mary by name, she recognized the voice. And do we recognize when Jesus calls? And he wants the same response that Mary gave him, Master. You know, we love him because he first loved us. I believe Mary's answer showed the love and the loyalty that she had in her heart. I believe there was probably a lot more said there, but that wasn't recorded. And I believe if it had been up to Mary, she would have just sat at his feet and listened to her blessed Master that she thought had been gone, was dead, but a few moments before. You know, maybe too often we have the concept of Jesus as our Savior and not as our Lord and Master. We want to think of being saved by Christ's death on the cross, but we're not willing to give everything to him. And you know, there's nothing as important that our actual salvation depends on our attachment and in companionship with the resurrected Lord and Master. I think another lesson we can learn from Mary there is that she had to share her joy with others. You know, we need to share Jesus with those around us. If he is our Lord and our Master, that's going to be the natural result. Excuse me. It's going to be a part of our life. We won't be able to help it. It's just going to flow from us. The last verse there in John 20 is verse 31 says, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." I believe that group of disciples that night were an excited group, maybe a perplexed group. You know, where do we go from here? Mary claims that she talked to Jesus. Are we going to see him again? What are the Jews going to try to do us? What about those false accusations that the disciples stole his body? And in the middle of this, all this, Jesus appears in the midst of them, in the midst of the group, and he says those familiar words, "Peace be unto you." You know, those words took on that new meaning that night, I believe. They came from the lips of the risen Christ. One of the wonderful gifts that Jesus gave to his disciples and is available to all his children is that peace that he wants to give. And after he said those words, he showed them his side, his hands, the scars. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Here was their master. His hands had the prints of the nails. His side had the scar. It showed them that he had died for them and that he had risen. You know, a gospel without those marks is not a gospel. You know, Jesus could have rebuked them for their unbelief, but instead he reassured them and went on to commission them to carry on. And I think it gave his disciples a lot of joy to realize that despite their unbelief, despite their struggles, he was giving this on to them, despite the fact that Peter had just denied him a few days previously. But it wasn't long before Peter was preaching boldly. You know, that was, I believe, because they were enabled through his Holy Spirit. The breath of God in the creation meant physical life. The breath of Jesus means spiritual life. They had the Spirit with them in the person of Christ, but now the Spirit would be in them. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know, now they were called to bear the message of forgiveness to the world. They couldn't forgive sins, only God can do that, but if sinners repented, they could declare to them that their sins had been forgiven. You know, Jesus had heard Thomas's words that unless I see the nail prints, unless I see the scar on his side, I won't believe. And Jesus confronted him the next week, but he didn't rebuke him for doubting. When he saw his master, he said, "Thomas says, my Lord and my God." And what does the resurrection mean to us today? He is not here, for he is risen. You know, the belief in the resurrection created Christianity. The belief of the resurrection turned a small group of grieving men and women into men that went forward with great zeal, knowing that their lives were at stake to preach the gospel, to preach Jesus, the resurrection. You know, it was said about them that these men are going to turning the world upside down, that they were changed from fear to courage. I think Thomas was changed from unbelief to confidence. You know, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, I trust that's our desire this morning, to know him and the power of his resurrection. I've asked Andy to sing a couple songs, and I think I'm going to have him do that at this time, if you're ready for that. I think singing these songs of the resurrection is such an important part of when we think of Easter in the service. Let's just give them our prayerful attention at this time.
Sing this morning. The first song portrays Christ as him who broke the power of death. And, you know, in doing so, he gave lost humanity, you and I, a way out of everlasting destruction. And it's only because of his work, because of this, that because of his victorious work, that the words of the second song can hold true, how that death and parting is temporary, and that one day there will be a final waking in Christ's likeness.
Christ glorious, come.
Thank you. It's beautiful. Waking up in Christ's own likeness, satisfied. What a beautiful thought. You know, the disciples here, their master was alive. He had defeated death. He was the only one that could atone for their sins, for our sins, for your sins, for the sins of mankind, as long as there's life on the earth. Are you claiming Jesus as your Savior and Lord and Master? Are you willing to consecrate your life to Him? And if we want to have victory, we must. We can't hold anything back. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, he was the creator of the universe. He has defeated death. You know, we serve a risen Savior. Our God, He is alive. He has gone to prepare a place for His people. You know, our ultimate goal should be to prepare to be with Him, the one who gave His life so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In closing, I'm going to read these verses out of Romans 8, 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's kneel for prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee again at the close of this service, Lord, as we see our own unworthiness of the blessings that You have given us, of the hope that we can have in You, and the joy and the peace that You give, the Comforter, Lord, we just pray that You might bless each one here, bless those that couldn't be here this morning. Lord, just help us each to look at You as our not only our Savior, but as our Lord and Master, and to be willing to give everything to You. And if there's anybody here that has not done that, that You are knocking on their heart's door, just pray that You might help them to be willing to go all the way and to not spurn the love that You have given for each one of us personally. We just thank You for the many blessings we have. We thank You for the privilege again of being here. We pray for those that are being persecuted today for Your name's sake. Lord, we just pray that You might bless them, give them strength and peace and courage. Just help them to feel Your presence near. We just want to commit each one to You, Lord, and just help pray that You might keep us as we go from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.